You're listening to Intellectual Erection,
a place where we talk about the naughty.
Just stimulate your thinking.
You're listening
to
Intellectual Erection.
Intellectual Erection.
Передачу, где мы говорим о дискультам,
субъекте
секса.
Пратором де фебюдне.
To stimulate your thinking.
Welcome to another episode of Intellectual Erection. I'm your host, Patrick, and today I'm talking to the lovely dominatrix, Lady Henry.
We had a poo party, and there was like a plate on his like naked stomach while he was lying down, and just like pooped on the plate and then cut it up and fed it to him.
You weren't ready for that, were you? Yeah, me neither. And there's a lot more to that story when you hear it in context. So you gotta listen. Who knows? Maybe it's at the end of the episode. Maybe it's in the middle. Somewhere. It's in there. Anyhow, before we get to the episode, I want to, again, ask that my audience, whom I've come to love, please go out there and share the podcast with your friends. Write some reviews. Share the link online. Help get it spread. And if you can, please visit the Patreon, patreon.com/intellectualerection, and you can make a financial commitment to the continuation of this lovely podcast. If you have any questions or inquiries or suggestions for future episodes, you can also email intellectualerection@gmail.com or visit the Instagram @intellectual_erection. You have to type it in fully. Don't forget the underscore. It is shadow banned, so until you type that N at the end of intellectual erection, you will not see the profile. Why? Because Instagram doesn't like sexiness. So, as always, listen, like, review, and most of all, enjoy. I'm sitting here today with
Lady Henry. That's me.
Hi, Lady Henry.
Hi.
Should we tell the folks what your line of work is before we get started?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm a veterinarian, and so, yeah, just...
I was like, yeah, tell me
yeah,
more.
I use so much lube for horses and whatnot, because I'm thinking...
Nay.
Yeah, nay. I am a professional dominatrix, and I've been doing this professionally for about 2 years, but in the industry... for about 6 or so, and been involved in like the kink fetish alternative scene for probably 15 years.
Wow. Yeah. So there's a lot of history there. I'm going to dig deep.
Yeah. Ask me whatever you want. Doesn't mean I'm going to answer it, but you can ask.
Okay.
Yeah.
With consent.
Oh, of course. And you know what? Your questions will reveal things about you as well. So just so you know, it's not going to be all about me. So I'm going to be judging you.
Good. I like this. I like this back and forth.
I was like, oh, what an interesting question.
Yeah. Tips.
Yes.
Fedora. So why don't we get into it?
Yeah.
Lady Henry, the dominatrix, professionally for 2 years.
Yes.
Been doing it for about 5 or 6 and been in the sex positive communities as a kinkster and whatever else for over 15?
15 years?
Yeah. 15 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Are you going to ask how old I am?
No.
I started when I was in the womb.
I started when I was 4.
Yes.
What I was going to ask is for the origin story. Where did it all begin? Were you a little perv growing up?
I don't think I was any more or less pervy than anyone else, but I remember in grade 1, I had like 3 boyfriends, and I remember like one of the guys I had like a super big crush on, who I was like, you know, grade 1 seeing, and I think he was getting picked on, and so I like took on his bullies and I was like, don't worry, I'll protect you. And I still do this whenever I liked a kid, like a guy, I would just be better at the thing he was really good at to impress him. Ooh. So if he was like really good at like running, I'd be like, I can run faster than you, and just smoke him. And, so, and I'd be like, see, why wouldn't you want some of this?
So one of them must have been good at fighting. And then you're just like, I'm going to fuck some people up now.
Yeah, it's like, whatever. But yeah, apparently I didn't get the memo that you're not supposed to make men feel inadequate in order to flirt with them. But I was like, look at how skilled I am.
Yeah. It
how do you not want this?
It threatens their masculinity, didn't you know?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And I remember, do you remember the Bodyguard movie came out?
Yeah.
There was this one song, Queen of the Night, and she's in this like metal S&M getup, and she's like, stuff that you want, I got the thing that you need. And it's like this fucking amazing, like, fuck you anthem where it's like, mur, 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 mur. And it has so much power. It's like fucking rock star moment. And that came out when I was in grade 2, and we wanted to do a variety show, and I was like, as a group member, and I was like, we should totally do this song. And they're like, no, we'll do like Michael Jackson's Black or White. And I was like, whatever. So I just remember identifying with those.
But you wanted that. That's
of course. Yeah. I was like, this is the best song ever. And it was like a super sexual song. Yeah. And I was like, okay, if you want to be basic, we can do Michael Jackson's Black or White.
So early on, you had some inklings.
Yeah, it definitely comes naturally. Uh-huh.
And then where did it begin with intent?
It was still of an interest, and then I found some community groups, and I was like, okay, I guess I'll go to like a munch and see what's happening, and got into some communities and went to play parties, and I actually met Fakir Musafar, who was like one of the pioneers of the very just beautiful body mods, where you kind of put hooks in your chest and
So hook suspension, stuff like
that. Yeah. But I remember I went to a workshop that they were doing, him and his wife Cleo, and they were just so lovely. And they gave me some terminology that I wasn't familiar with. And it was a really great experience to not be looked down upon when I was new to the community. Mm-hmm. And from these like very renowned people, they were very like open, and it was just like, oh, okay, this is what it's supposed to be like. So getting involved there, and then I started professional domination because I had a bunch of like shit jobs. And I was like, I hate this. This is horrible. I'm not doing this. So I took a moment and I was like, okay, what I'm doing isn't working. What do I actually want to do? If I could do anything, what is it? And I was lying on my bed looking up, and the first thing I thought of was, I want to be a dominatrix. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess let's flip on Google and look at local dungeons and see what's up. So I made up a resume. I wasn't sure how to. I was like, But yeah. So that's where I started professional, and I've been doing it for, about 2 years. And now I'm independent as of September. So yeah, it's going really well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what I wanted to ask you then is specifically tied into your recent work. Recent, whatever.
Yeah.
Into your dom work. So we can actually get into some of the questions that people might have about going to a pro dom.
Yeah, of course.
Where do we find them? What is the etiquette like? How to behave in that kind of space?
Yeah.
So all these sorts of things I think would be an interesting sort of topic for people to kind of
understand. A nice orientation?
Yeah.
Oh, completely.
Pro doming 101.
Yes.
and maybe even a tip or two for how to get into it. So you were saying you got into it by Googling some stuff.
Yes.
How do you build up a resume for something like that? Because you've been around it for 15 years, so you obviously have to be part of the scene, know consent rules, know how to play within BDSM environments, how to read bodies, how to strike somebody, how to check in, how to maybe use rope and bondage and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've discussed some of these things on the show before. There's workshops about it. I don't think that one episode is going to do justice to all of it, but maybe an overall.
There is no board. There's no official certification.
Right.
There's literally anyone could do it. But in order to be successful, you have to care about the experience of your guests. So if you're doing it because you hate men, or you really like hurting people without regard to their experience, then this is not a good avenue. Go into like MMA fighting.
Right.
But I guess to start on the orientation, like how to find a dom.
Yeah.
Know what you like, because not all doms do all the things, and people have specialties. So some people are very into corporal. So they're like floggers all day, every day. Corporal punishment, okay. Floggers, canes. Some people are really great at role play. Some people will not do role play. I have a theater background. So,
Fair
yes. So I love role play.
So you could be someone's mom.
Yeah.
Sister,
totally.
Dad.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And like, I've been the first female president before. I've been an android.
So
I've been
cool.
Leader of the femdom army.
Wow.
I've been, teachers.
Were these on request or did you come
on request?
With those? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Some creative request.
Yeah.
There.
I love fucking crazy stuff, like crazy role play where they're like, you're the left-handed queen and you can only turn right, or I don't know, or something. I'm like surprise me, something.
And scene.
Yes. And thank you. Yes, only turn right, I'll see you later. But I love stuff like that, absolutely love it. So know what your interests are and make sure they're compatible, before you start checking all the things. Leo List is where it's the new back page.
Yeah,
it's where we all now advertise. Twitter is extremely good. That's where there's usually a process. People go to Leo List or our website using Google. Just Google like Dominatrix Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they go to the website or the ad, and then they're like, oh, that's very interesting. And then they check Twitter to see if you're a real person.
Mm-hmm. Okay, they do their little validation to make sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Most places have, like most websites and providers have a form. So, yeah, please fill out the form. They're there for a reason, because it cuts down on your time and like my time. And it has like all the information. But yeah, it's be polite, be professional. And we haven't agreed to have a session yet. So if you're going to be like, blah, 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 I want you to do all this stuff to me, you're like, okay, well, I'm not going to entertain that dialogue, because we're in the beginning negotiation professional stages right now.
Right.
So.
Right. So once you actually negotiate the scene, which is based obviously on the parameters of what you do and don't do, which is different from dom to dom, are there any universal no's that no dom is going to do right off the bat?
I can't think of anything. Dominatrixes don't have sexual contact or have intercourse or any sort of sexual exchange.
Right, they're not they're not a full service sex worker.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we remain clothed.
Mm-hmm.
so you can actually admire what we're wearing because we spent a lot of money and effort on it. Yeah. So, yeah, fuck all y'all.
But that does not restrict necessarily somebody from coming to full climax during a session because of a scene.
Oh, exactly. A lot of the time for legal reasons, mm-hmm. The guest is welcome to take care of their own needs.
Right.
In that regard. Whereas the time we spend together are... it's getting to that point or mm-hmm. teasing or just it's sensation play and psychological play. And mm-hmm. then if that's a goal, then you're like, here's fucking 10 seconds. Deal with it.
Do it.
There's your window, fucker.
There's some rubber sheets on the ground for you.
Yeah, yeah. And if you just like do it in the corner.
The baby wipes are over here.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. No, here's like the harsh paper towels. Right. Ooh. Here.
Just use this sandpaper if you...
Yeah, if you could, and this, like, lemon juice. And, yeah.
Sandpaper, lemon juice.
Yeah, and if you could just, like, hump these nails, that'd be great.
So to book, there's avenues of finding pro doms. Mm-hmm. Look for what you want. Know what you're getting into a little bit before you get there. And have a polite discussion with the dom about boundaries.
Those are usually covered under hard limits in the form. Like, usually the forms, or mine at least, cover hard limits, your interests, medical conditions, and also if you've seen a dom before. If you've never seen one before, then it's like, oh, okay. And it also goes over safe words.
Mm-hmm.
So just that we agree that this is how it's going to proceed in a responsible manner.
Do you give them the safe word, or do they come up with
it? I give them the safe word, because the safe words are always the same. Red.
Oh, right.
Yeah, red, okay. Green, yellow, red.
So traffic light, yeah.
Yeah,
traffic light,
and... And I tell them that red doesn't mean the scene, like, please, you can say red at any time if you really feel like in a panicked state or something's not going right. We'll stop that particular activity, but the scene won't stop. We'll just move on to something else. Right. So therefore, it...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So you set up those kinds of scenes with people, with maybe a checklist, safe words, and so on. And then once the person gets in to your space and you begin a session, what is some good etiquette that people might want to know once they're in there, especially if it's their first time?
Yes. Well, let's start with this. Show up on time.
Great.
Not early and not late. So even 5 minutes early is too early. A lot of the time we rent the space and we're still getting ready or blah, blah, blah. So just if your appointment's at 3, then come at 3. Also, good hygiene.
I hear this from all sorts of people in the sex work industries.
Yeah. Good hygiene. Very, very basic. But also, if you're late, like, you can text, but also apologize.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
do you add mistress to the end of the apology?
Yeah, I'm like, if you can get it out fast enough before I hit you, yeah. Sure.
Awesome. Are there showers on premises ever?
Yes.
Okay, so people can choose to definitely waste some of their time showering.
Well, they do.
Is it mandatory?
If there is an issue, there hasn't been an issue so far where it's been so bad where I'm like, dude, get the fuck in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
It's never been that
bad. It's never gotten there.
No. Because it wouldn't even... Mm-hmm. I'd be like, we're not doing this. But yeah, there's a walk-in shower. It's at Ludus. I use Rent Ludus Studios, which is a fantastic space. Really high ceilings, bright, open, and the walk-in shower. So I can pee on people so easily.
Ooh.
So it's great. Yeah, I love it. I'm a very strong stream, so I don't want to brag, but
is that one of your higher requests?
Oh yeah. Golden is extremely popular, which is good because I'm making it anyway. So why waste it? Am I right?
Right.
So
right.
Yeah.
So golden showers, awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are super easy, and they're really satisfying as well, because you're like.
As opposed to what? Scat play?
I have done scat play.
Ooh.
And I can't take the smell. I haven't done it just me. I've done it like in a group scenario where we had a poo party. And then this guy, he was from out of town, and he came, he rented a hotel room, and there were three of us, and we had a picnic table, or a picnic tablecloth, and he was lying on it, and we basically like had like candles and like Kenny G playing, and
Kenny G is great for a
poo party. It is great. And there was like a plate on his like naked stomach while he was lying down, and just like pooped on the plate and then cut it up and fed it to him. So
wow, I'm glad I asked this question.
Yeah. But the thing that the funniest thing I think that sums up what this kind of work is, after we were done this session, the poo party, we were all talking by the door and kind of chatting out, and then I'm like, and I smell something. I'm like, did somebody fart? And the dude was like, oh no, I just burped.
Oh.
And wow. That's my favorite. I'm just like,
that's like your favorite story.
Because isn't it just encapsulates every, like, kind of, you're like, yeah, it's ridiculous.
What so I do, it's ridiculous. You must not be very squeamish. Like, me just picturing your story right now.
Oh yeah, I was having dry heaves. Like I was sensitive to the smell.
Right, because like, that's three people's worth of shit.
Yeah,
it wasn't just your own, so you had to deal with like.
And they specialize in it, like they're
okay,
full
so,
toilet.
So they might okay. So they must be like a dietary, regular, they know what they're.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Were you requested to eat certain things and avoid others?
I think no, they were they. I think they told him what they had been eating. So okay. He could be like, ooh.
French fries.
Yes. And it was like sent, yeah, pictures of what they were eating. So he didn't dictate it, but they were just like, oh, guess what?
Here's what you're getting.
Yeah.
You're getting you're getting McDonald's, buddy.
Yeah, the condensed version.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing for SCAT, which there are some people who it's a humiliation thing where it's just like, you're nothing and blah, blah, and they love it. And then there are people who are just like, no, I just really enjoy, really enjoy poo.
So he was
like,
just, okay. He was just hungry.
He was just like super happy, happy to be there.
it was not a mess. It was very delicate. You're just feeding this.
Yeah, it was very civilized. We had a picnic table, candles,
did he eat everything?
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. 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 So that's fine.
On a scale of 1 to would you ever do it again? Would you ever do it again?
Oh, yeah. For money? Yeah, totally. For money? Yeah, naturally. Of course.
Naturally.
Like, nothing phases me.
Okay. So is that your wildest story? Because you tell it so nonchalantly that it makes me feel like it's not.
There was a gangbang.
Oh, that's everyday kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I like how I'm just like, oh, there's a gangbang. Yeah, and it was super, super cute because it was all these... It was just... That's the only word to describe it because it was kind of in a gathering where guys would get to do... Like, they're like a very, like, a forced buy kind of dealio. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was so cute because it was a lot of guys, like, first time. So they're just like, oh, okay. Oh, thank you very much. And it was just like, you're like, you're doing so well. Look at you. Look at
great.
Good for you. Just
your
just
first make a fellatio.
Fist so you don't. Yeah. Like, just make a fist so you can deep throat. So proud of you.
Is that how one deep throats?
Yeah.
By making a fist?
Well, yeah, because apparently, it's something else to concentrate on.
So you can relax your... Yeah. So if you want to relax an orifice, squeeze your fist.
Yes.
Does that work for other orifices?
Probably.
Okay. You got to try
that. If your focus is somewhere else, yeah, I guess.
Sorry, and I want to go back to the poop thing for a sec.
Yeah.
I have one more question.
Yeah, of course. Shoot.
What's the going rate for that? Is it on the more expensive end of things?
Well, what I do isn't cheap. I imagine.
But, I mean, of the things that one could potentially hire you for.
It's the same price. Like, SCAT. I think it is more, but I'm not privy. I don't do scat on my own.
Right, right.
And I didn't negotiate. So I think it is, I would just get my, I think it's like maybe instead of 300 an hour, it's like 500 or something like that.
But that's considerably more.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So if you want some scat play.
Yeah. Well, not with me.
Yeah. If you want some scat play, just be prepared.
Yeah.
Be prepared and bring your own plate.
Yeah. And your own cutlery, disposable. Yeah.
And try not to burp.
Yeah, exactly. Or if you do, you know, downwind. Downwind and while I'm upwind. That would be great. If you could just plan
your bodily excretions. People.
Yeah, if you just plan them so it's like
all right,
most civilized possible.
So that was part of the, I guess, etiquette of how to be in a scene as a, what do you call them, clients?
I call them guests.
Guests.
Because they're more, it's more like people. Because, because I really am, you're in a very, like, hey, you're fucking naked and you're in a very vulnerable spot. It's more than a business transaction, which I feel client signifies. But etiquette, don't tell the Dom what to do.
That's probably a good idea.
Basically, the best way to approach a scene, if you're a submissive, if you're a guest, is you let the Dom know, these are the things I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. So here are the tools. But I decide, as the Dom, how I'm going to use them and when I'm going to use them. And so it's, if you have like a huge script, there's nowhere for them to play. There's no sort of expression for them. No fun for them to have.
No creative space.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not. Otherwise, it just becomes, you're just masturbating, basically, with somebody else in the room.
Right, right.
But, like, if you let us take over, do our job, we will do the tools, we will surprise you, blah, blah, blah. So, don't be a bossy douchebag.
Don't be a bossy sub.
Yeah. Oh, fucking brats. Oh, I hate brats so much.
Yeah?
Yeah, just do what I tell you. Just do what I say.
You want them to be compliant?
Well, yeah, because it's like, I don't have the patience for this. Can we move on? So, yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. And you mentioned that you really enjoy role play.
Yes.
Is there anything else that's something that you really enjoy as part of your work? Something that you look forward to doing more than other things?
Yes. I've been looking into like hypnosis, and that's kind of where I got into the guided meditation. And the ultimate thing would be to have someone who is just sitting in a chair, but then have them experience not being able to move, but they're not restrained at all, just through suggestion, and I'm wondering if I could recreate the same sensations and same experiences through suggestion without touch. And I would love for somebody to have this completely fucking crazy, whole wild experience, but they haven't even like just opened their eyes.
Wow. That sounds like the core of my anxiety is going through exactly what you just described.
Yeah. Great. You'll be someone to practice on.
Never.
Like, we gotta work on.
We're good.
Yeah.
I could barely sit in a chair for more than 5 minutes. I'm just antsy. So, yeah, to just picture myself being told to sit specifically. Actually, I shouldn't be telling people how to torture me. Scratch that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We can edit that part out. Right?
Well, and that's the thing. That's the thing about hypnosis or seduction or being sensual. You never tell people what to do. You encourage them or direct them or persuade them. And it's so it's, there isn't as much fight. It's more like a lulling. And that's what I like.
Awesome.
Being a spy.
Being a spy.
Yeah.
So how does a dominatrix unwind? And what do you like outside of your work? Are you still dommy outside of work?
No, it's very, like anyone, it's very difficult to find relations, like, outside. in like the personal world, just because, you know. But yeah, I think, sorry, what was the
how do you unwind?
Questions? Oh, how do I unwind?
Or is work how you unwind?
Work is kind of, work is actually how I unwind. Like I get a lot of, I get very calm. Like for the most part, I'm quite an anxious person, very animated, a lot of energy. And I actually find when I'm doing scenes, it calms me down because I have to, especially when I'm doing, now that I'm incorporating this, it actually puts me in the present moment as well. So it's very much therapeutic for me as well for that. So, yeah. And also in, to unwind in general, podcasts, dancing to like stupid music, and yeah, writing lists and plans.
Writing lists.
Yeah.
I like to write lists.
I do. Whenever I get like anxious or whatever, I make lists and it organize things and just.
And then you can cross things off and feel the satisfaction of completion.
Yeah, or it just takes things out of your head, puts them on paper,
right?
So you don't have to think about them anymore.
That's true. I think I do a little bit of list writing myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
so
like
you have
it.
To keep it in. You could just pour
exactly.
It out.
It's the was it remember all or Dumbledore takes his memories out with a little sticky thing with his wand and then like puts them in this big cauldron, so he has to so he can remember.
Is that right?
Everything. Yeah.
Was that in the films?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know if I remember that.
But it's like that.
Okay.
That's what notebooks
are. Yeah, so you free up some space in there.
Mm-hmm.
On declutter,
yeah.
Whatever it's called. Okay, so of the things that you've done, I can imagine some of the activities, but it occurred to me that maybe some people don't know exactly what kind of services are offered by dominatrixes.
Yes.
So we talked about water sports, which you've done, the poo experience, which was fascinating. And obviously, there's pictures of bondage, of restriction, of slapping, hitting, striking, which might sound like the same thing. Different tools, bondage. Did I already say bondage? Maybe I did. Ball torture.
CBT, there's mummification. There's, let me go through the thing. There's ABDL, which is adult baby, diaper play. There is pet play. There's sensory overload, sensory deprivation.
How do you do sensory overload?
Instead of the sensory overload is usually like wham, like wet and messy. So you're doing maybe like Jell-O or some. It's you're using sight, sound,
touch,
texture, like
taste,
yeah, all
smell
at the same time. Whereas sensory dep is you're only engaging one sense at a time. So usually the person's blindfolded and they can't hear. So it's very controlled, but this is just like a cacophony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's that. And then there's feminization, sissification. There's slave training. There's obedience. There is, corporal paddling, a paddling.
Spanking.
What else? There's like the pegging, anal play. Yeah. And there's tons, nipple torture, just tons of stuff. Like pick apart on your body and.
Yeah, all sorts of sensory experiences.
Yeah. Pick apart on your body and visit the hardware store. And that's basically, for tools. And that's basically, you're good to go.
Have you ever dabbled into any of the injection or penetrative, and I don't mean penetrative as in sexual, I mean as in with needles or needle play.
Oh, that scares me.
Yeah.
No. It's too much. It's too much responsibility.
Yeah.
And I don't get anything out of it.
Yeah.
I don't feel anything. Like there are a lot of the people that do it fucking love it. And they get it. There's an art. There's like they get a high. It's a whole thing. Whereas I'm just like, I'm just worried about like, that seems like a lot of blood. I don't know. Is that good? I don't know. So I haven't done it, and it's just not my area.
That makes sense. I mean, if it's not something that you enjoy, then why?
Especially when it is something that's quite invasive.
Right.
So it's like, you know, there are certain things I might not be into them, but I'll still do them because I'm like, ah, whatever. Like, but that, when you're dealing with somebody's body and...
Yeah, and there's also sort of aseptic procedures that need to go into it and...
Yeah, a lot of safety and stuff, and I'm just like...
No, I'd rather poo on a plate for you.
Oh, I thought you said something.
I don't know. I might have. Oh. I might have said something. Oh, you don't like brats.
Oh, I hate brats. So annoying. It's such a waste of time.
How do you deal with a brat?
I don't play.
Asking for a friend.
I don't fucking play their game.
No.
If they're like, because I've had a couple of sessions where people want to get a reaction out of me. They're like, well, I was just trying to make you angry or something. It's like, I don't get angry. Like, I know what you're doing, and I'm just like, no, I'm not playing. So if I had a brat, I had one time where we were on two different wavelengths, and he was kind of acting out and being inappropriate. Mm-hmm. Not in a threatening way, but just in a, like...
annoying way.
Stop, you know? Yeah. So I was like, okay, we're going to have a bit of a break. You're going to lie down, or you're going to listen to whale sounds. You're going to listen to whale music, and we're just going to calm down for a second because this isn't working, whatever you're doing. And so, yeah, so I put him down. We did breathing, and then he listened to whale sounds. It's like, well, that's, I don't care if you don't like it, because we're not doing that. So
I could play this clip as part of a parenting instructional.
Yes!
And just be like, how do you deal with a toddler who's throwing a tantrum?
God, yeah, make him listen to... Completely transferable. Yeah. He's like, oh, I feel so... I love the ocean and everything. He's like, I have such a reverence for aquatic life.
Amazing. Now prepare your ass for the speculum.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
But how I deal with brats, I don't play.
And are the majority of your guests cis men? Or do you have a variety?
I've only had one female client, and it was the most amazing session. Super amazing. And I have had sessions with cis men who are amazing, that are amazing as well. But yeah, there is a difference. The ideal session, whether it be with the male or female, is when someone is willing to go on a journey with you and not try to anticipate what you're going to do, but you're both experiencing these things at the same time, and it'll kind of go where it naturally needs to go. Whereas that was kind of the natural state of things with the female client that I had, and it was really a beautiful experience. Whereas a lot of cis men have like a bullet list,
right?
Do this, and there isn't that space to just...
Well, do you think experience. there's something about the way that we're socially gendered that makes men more, or masculinity more resistant, and femininity more cooperative or compliant? Because I've also heard from other sex workers, actually, that have had, you know, again, a very limited experience with women coming in, and they also really enjoyed the experience, right? Because it's so different than dealing with cis men.
And I think the big difference is that when you're with a female client, you feel like you can give. Whereas when you're with a male client, a lot of the time you feel like they're taking.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the bottom line in my experience, because they're taking because they're not giving. So in order for me to give to them, they have to give up for me.
Right.
And a lot of the times, if they're not in the right headspace, and we don't get that particular situation, if they retain control, if they retain their masculine
right.
ego or whatever, then we're not, then they're asking without also
giving back. Yeah.
So yeah.
Because it is a power exchange that's predicated on also a financial exchange, right?
Yeah.
Beforehand, so you come in, you pay somebody for a service, and then you might be entitled to expectations from that service. In which case, you might have the mentality: I come in, I get this from this person, and I don't have to give anything back. You know, yeah.
I'd be like, you saying that, and I'm just like, yeah, that's not fucking what happens. Yeah, I'm like, no, you can say what you're interested in, but this is female domination, mm-hmm. meaning this is my time. I'm going to do what I want to do, like consensually and stuff, but you're paying for my time. You're paying for my expertise and what I can create and what I can do. You're not paying for a service, like service that I provide, like A, B, C, and D off a menu.
Mm-hmm.
I am a curator of an experience and you're paying to be part of it.
Right.
So that's what that is.
So is that stereotype real, that the typical man who comes in to be dominated is somebody who is generally very in control of their work life, let's put it that way, and typically people that do have a good deal of power and come there in order to relinquish that power or to experience a state of being dominated because it's opposed to what they normally experience, or is that just a myth?
No, that's definitely a large part. But a bigger part of my guest roster are people who are just naturally
submissive,
and they want somewhere where they can explore it and they can just be themselves. Because they might not get to do that in the real world. They might just have a regular job or this or that, but it is part of them, and they need to express it in order to feel balance within themselves.
Right.
So,
I mean, I asked this question because I suspected it wasn't the case that the majority are these like corporate powerful types, that there's actually a decent amount of men who are just genuinely submissive and they want a space to explore that with somebody
where they don't feel ashamed.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you pay somebody who's experienced and does this professionally, then at least you can rely on their services and on their reputation and on what they do. As opposed to, like you said, it's difficult finding somebody online who's going to satisfy these things in a relationship.
Well, and also there's the risk of rejection.
Yeah.
And somebody saying, like, you're weird or blah, blah, blah. Whereas if you're paying for a service, or if you're hiring a professional, then it's like they've seen way more shit than I could ever think of.
On a plate.
Like, on a plate. Yes. yes, on a plate. It's you know how it's easier to tell strangers your secrets than it is like your your close people, because the stakes are low.
Yeah. Exactly.
So that's what
the experience is meant for.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
A mental vacation.
Wonderful. Well, what about the time? That went fast.
Holy shit, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I had fun.
Okay, whatever. We can always do this again.
Awesome.
But before I let you go, you're going to shamelessly plug away at where people can find you, all the things.
Yes. You can find me at www.ladyhenry.ca, and that is my website, and I have like a bunch of like really cool pictures and videos, and then you can also follow me on Instagram. It's the Lady Henry X on Instagram, and I have like those where I'm like most active, and then also on Twitter, so it's at the Lady Henry. Yes. So
okay,
I think I'm delightful.
You'll find
you are quite delightful. I think the content is delightful.
Perfect. You got to believe in yourself.
I believe in myself too much.
That's good. That's
so much.
Well, anyone who's listening can also find all of these links in the description of the episode. And for now, thank you very much, Lady Henry.
Thank you very much, Intellectual Erection.
Until next time.
Yes. You're listening to Intellectual Erection, a place where we talk about the naughty to stimulate your thinking.